Hello, and welcome to the Pedagogzilla podcast. We are currently on tour at the OU Library for the LDS Link event, and we're interviewing people who are setting up stalls here or just wandering around from LDS and non-LDS as well. I'm here with Paul and I'm Mark Williams, for those of you who haven't heard any of these podcasts before, and I'm filling in for Mike. But I'm here with a good colleague of mine who I'm going to ask to introduce himself just now. So could you tell us who you are and what you do?
Yeah, thanks, Mark. So I'm Paul Astles. I work as a learning designer, obviously in LDS, but within the STEM-facing team, so kind of all across the different schools in STEM. It's all at the moment, I've been doing a lot of workload mapping of physics, so my brain's in a lot of maths at the moment, which is for better or worse.
And before we carry on, I haven't even played the intro podcast music yet, so I think I ought to do that just to create some atmosphere. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Brilliant. And that just puts the podcast into perspective a little bit there. We are asking people about a book that they've read, a book that if they could forget and experience it all over again, which one would it be? But we are allowing films as well. So, Paul, have you got a particular choice that you want to talk about?
I absolutely do. So my book that I would like to forget if I could to read it again would be Fight Club by Chuck Palahniuk.
And why is that?
Fight Club was something that I identified with really strongly in my kind of teens and early 20s and stuff, because of the themes and the story that were in it just really resonated with me. The kind of the idea of identity and not knowing what's real at times, or, you know, if you can trust people and you know, have different perspectives on things, it might make your reality different. And so, yeah, those quite challenging themes in Fight Club really forced me to reflect on how I thought about those things in my own life to a certain extent. So, yeah, the author, Chuck Palahniuk, the way that he writes in all of his novels, but in Fight Club in particular, is really easy to not put down. So it keeps you hooked, and the cadence of the words and stuff, you know, how it reads is really engaging and compelling, and I'm not, and I'll hold my hands up to this, anyone that knows me well enough will know that I'm not a huge reader of books, but I absolutely love Chuck Palahniuk books.
So when you read that book, how did you feel seeing the film then? Did you feel like the film was true to the book? Were you happy with the adaptation in the film?
Yeah, so the film was, I think, in parts really truthful to the book, and in parts it took Hollywood liberties, but I think if you get the essence of the characters and the way that Tyler Durden is discussed in the book, is it feels quite similar in the film. There are some nuances to some of the actions that he takes, for example, in the book that aren't quite replicated in the film, and it's if it's possible to be darker, it's a bit darker in the book than it is in the film. But I think the ending of the book is a little bit different to the film as well, which I thought was quite interesting, and the sequence of events and things. But the film I was very happy with. It portrayed a story that I loved, and not in a way that I felt angry about. You know, I didn't want to start my own Fight Club after.
Okay, that's good to know. And is that still the case? It became really iconic, didn't it? Mm. I kind of almost see it in the same kind of oeuvre as like an American Psycho a little bit, which again was a really disturbing. I know someone who was reading at the time, I was quite young at the time, but I remember flicking through that book a little bit and landing on a page, and it was kind of quite shocking, you know, the kind of the language and the scenarios. And probably the same thing applies to Fight Club a little bit, you know, it was a dark.
Yeah, definitely. I think it plays into the nuances of human behaviour and how a slight change of perspective or opinion can have a drastic outcome on your existence or your life or your life choices. I think that's probably what I enjoyed the most about, when I reflect back about why I resonate so well with Fight Club book and film, is probably reflecting on those themes, really. So my favorite characters in the book and the films are ones that aren't necessarily having the greatest time in the story, but they're going on a journey and they're trying to figure out what their life is and what their, you know, meaning is in this space that they're in, and if the space that they're in actually is where they want to be or not. And I think that's a really powerful,
I think it kind of almost encourages us to reflect on our own lives and the scenarios that we're in and think about solutions and possible ways of moving forward as we go along that journey with a character. Paul, the other question is, what is the best thing you've learned from a book or a film? It can be any genre, by the way.
So I'll tell you where my thoughts went immediately.
Okay.
And if you think that this should be cut from the podcast, you can tell me.
I'm sure it won't, Paul. Have a think about you. You were talking about the decision-making process, where we are in our lives currently. Have a little think about it. Do you want a minute? Have a minute, Paul. Do you want this to go out on the LDS intranet link and on the pedagodzilla.com podcast site?
No, it was quite playful, my thought. So my first and immediate thought went to Happy Feet.
That's the penguin thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. And just how kind of playful and exciting it is just to be free and, you know, enjoy having a little boogie. That was where my brain went.
I really like that because we're getting into the idea of playful learning, aren't we? Mm. And, you know, I've done some courses recently that talk about not ignoring that child, you know, the child that we have, that childish side of us, which is a really important part of our adult lives. But we tend to forget it and we ignore it. And by ignoring that, we do ourselves quite a lot of damage from a well-being perspective. So, I mean, do you think that you can bring any lessons from Happy Feet into the work you do?
I think a sense of joy at the little things is kind of the main thing that I take from Happy Feet in that context. I would, you know, I'm a big believer in celebrating success and defining success in a way that allows you to celebrate, because it's very easy in work or, you know, life generally to feel like you aren't achieving what you're trying to achieve, or that the steps you're getting there aren't quite working out. But actually, if you just take a moment to redefine what success looks like in your work and in your life to a certain extent, I think that's what I would take from Happy Feet, because applying the success metaphor being to the freedom of the dance.
Paul, how did the film enable you to experience that joy in small things, or to feel that sense of the child or whatever it was? How did the film enable that?
I think it promotes an innocent, playful reflection on what you take joy from. And I think, you know, it doesn't have to be dancing. I'm not a great dancer. It could be anything, but I think you can apply the logic of just kind of, you know, allowing yourself a space to experience joy in the context of what you're applying that in. And I think that's what the penguin in Happy Feet does. And that's what I think allows me to not be really sad all the time, really.
I haven't seen it, Paul, but I've seen documentaries about penguins. And they're usually slipping over and falling over, but probably enjoying the whole process. Do you think that Happy Feet brought out that joy of making mistakes and trying things out?
I think so. And I think it probably brought it out in a way that I suspect resonates differently depending on your age. But I think it allowed people to be happy.
How do films then allow us to learn? And what experiences do they give us?
So I think I'm going to frame this in the context of horror, if that's okay.
Yeah, by all means, yeah.
So I'm a huge fan of the genre of horror. I've seen probably more zombie and vampire and you know, slasher films than I could probably remember. And I think what that genre in particular for me allows me to draw from is the sense of the journey that you go on. So you might start somewhere and feel a bit hopeless. Think of any horror film, that's probably the story. And then when you get through that feeling of hopelessness, there comes a sense of purpose of I need to progress in this, you know, way to, in the context of horror, not die. But in the context of life, it might be kind of, you know, you've found purpose in something and you're working towards it to, you know, move forward with your story or with your journey. And I think that's what horror does really well. It forces the characters to go on a journey for better or worse. And, you know, sometimes they don't make it, sometimes they do.
Yeah.
But I think that's what I get from from horror films particularly. You could argue that you could get that from films generally, but horror resonates with me because of the style of the storytelling. So it's more visceral and, you know, kind of emotive perhaps. And I think that that represents life better for me.
And it's obviously an extreme situation that characters are put under. You know, we all go into extreme situations at some point in our lives.
Exactly.
And actually we have to fight, and there's that survival, isn't there? And we have to draw on the strengths and the reserves that we have, which I guess the characters are doing. I remember, Paul, once reading about, it was a disused shopping centre in Reading that they turned into a zombie experience. So
It
was all zombies and actors, and you were suddenly just thrust into this zombie shopping scenario. You know, go on that story from a survival point of view. And I thought it'd probably be the most terrifying thing that anyone could experience. I think I'd just shut down. Would you quite fancy a little experience like that?
I would love that, actually. I think that would be right up my street. But I think that there is a risk of me shutting down in that moment, to be fair. But I think zombie films have taught me at least three things, and that is always go for the head.
Okay, yeah. This is important stuff, I think, for listeners out there.
Zombies are zombies. They're not people anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's okay.
Are people starting to see them as people rather than?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. There might be like an emotional connection there, and that could be part of your journey of, you know, kind of letting the bad things go.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Is that a good thing? Is that a good thing? Seeing. Okay. Fair enough.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
But and then I think that the third thing would be just to run, really. I think that I would probably do all three of those things within a few moments.
That's really good advice. Thanks for practice your running skills, I think, throughout your life, because you're probably going to need it one day. Paul, we're obviously at the LTS Link event. What has been the highlight of your day so far?
So I've had some really interesting conversations with all sorts of people in LDS. So I've been speaking to editors, to IMDs, people from video and audio, a few SBMs, and just the variety of viewpoints on various topics. So I've just done a talk with a colleague, Eleanor, about how we interact with Gen AI and kind of framing it being responsible and positive in the context of Gen AI. And that was really insightful, the discussions and the conversations that we were having there. But I think my favorite interaction so far has been about the QR codes, people trying to focus their cameras on QR codes. I really enjoyed that.
And what, failing at that? Or? Okay, fair enough. Paul, thank you for coming in. You know, the storytelling aspect is so important for us as learning designers at the moment, isn't it? Because we're kind of thinking about how we bring students into their own learning, how they bring their experiences in, or how they can use knowledge in a scenario or a context that they might not be familiar with. So I think,
absolutely,
you know, the things that you've spoken about today are really important for those kind of conversations that we're having about education. So thank you to everyone for listening. Again, like I said, we're at the LDS Link event. If you want to listen to these podcasts, you can do at pedagodzilla.com. If you work at the OU, there will be a link on the LDS intranet site. I've been Mark Williams, and
I've been Paul Astles.
Thank you very much, and speak to you all soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.